risk her life to tell us of Bespin, she did, Senator. Need to do that, she did not. Tell us that Obi-Wan and young Skywalker still live, she did, and asked us to help them. Treacherous, does that sound to you, Also, know now, she does, that saved by the Jedi were her family and friends. A reason to trust us she has, to repay that debt, wouldn't you say?
I suppose so, she muttered. But what you're proposing, it's terribly risky.
Risky it is, yes, he said gravely. But our only chance, it might be, to avert widespread disaster and save our two missing Jedi.
Padme exchanged looks with Bail, then nodded.
All right. Not that you need my permission, but all right. So, Bail, while you're working with Master Yoda on this new plan, I'll keep pushing forward with the negotiations for a civilian fleet. Because if your friend Trin has an epiphany in the next few hours, we're going to want those extra ships standing by just in case.
Still slowly pacing, Yoda smiled at the floor. Did they know how the Force worked within them, these two brave senators? Could they feel even a hint of it, as he felt it in full flood? He thought not.
Agreed, said Bail. Only...
He was frowning again. Master Yoda, are you going to tell Palpatine what we're doing? Yoda stopped pacing.
Think that I should, do you?
I want to say yes, said Bail. But honestly...
Need to know. He does not, Senator, he said firmly. Jedi business, this is. Jedi business, also the liberation of Lantib is. Problems enough with Chandra-La and the Senate does our Supreme Chancellor have, Pleased he will be when resolved this crisis is. Care not that bothered with details he was not.
He smiled again, a little wickedly.
Besides, permission he gave you to pursue other solutions, did he not,
Bail almost smiled back. Well, yes, I suppose he did. Then he looked to Padme, worried that she would object. But if she had any reservations, she kept them to herself. After escorting the senators to Bail's waiting speeder, Yoda went in search of Taria Damson. He found her in an empty dojo, lightsaber training with a remote.
A mission?
Her tawny eyes glowed like banked fires.
We're going to rescue Obi-Wan and Anakin? Master Yoda, of course I'm in. You don't even have to ask.
Rescue, your primary objective, will not be, he said sternly. Destruction of the bioweapon facility on Lantib, your most important task is.
Oh, she said. Yes, Master, I understand.
He searched her face, searched the Force for any sense that she was the wrong person for this crucial undertaking. Sensing that, she dropped to her knees before him.
Master Yoda, I swear on my oath as a Jedi, I can't do this. I won't let you down.
A sudden flash of Force insight. Yes, she was the right person, a brilliant shadow, one of the best the Temple had ever known. She could do this, and she would not let him down. But the price she would pay, the terrible price.
It doesn't matter, she said, seeing her future in his face. Nothing matters but making a difference. Please, Master Yoda, don't change your mind, not now.
Sighing deeply, he closed his eyes and bowed his head.
What did the Force want? How did it guide him?
He waited and waited, and his answer came.
Walk with me, Taria,
he said, full of grief to come.
And explain, I will, the details of your mission.
Chapter 18.
Liar! Shouted Teba Jacqueline. You're a liar, Kenobi. You and your friend. You mind-tricked us into believing we'd be safe. And now look where we are, trapped and starving. And you expect us to trust you again.
Returned with Anakin to the square, no matter where Obi-Wan looked, he saw frightened, unfriendly faces. The handful of villagers who hadn't fallen victim to green sickness crowded close around him and Anakin, their courage defeated by hunger and terror. Dird's droid army was quiescent for the moment, but the strain of waiting for the bombardment to start again was almost as bad as enduring hour after hour of blaster fire. Jacqueline's bloodshot eyes were full of tears. Shame and rage consumed her. She was shouting at him, but she blamed herself for every ill that had befallen her village, and nothing he could say or do would change that. Nevertheless, he had to try. "Jacqueline, we're not lying," he said, willing her to believe him. "The help we hoped for has arrived. All we have to do is hold on a little longer. Our people will come."
"When?"
she demanded as the other villagers shifted and jostled and muttered their disbelief.
"And where are they?"
Jeeringly, she stabbed a pointed finger toward the ceiling of the storm shield.
"Up there, in space. They can't help us in space, Jedi. They can't help us at all."
"Jacqueline, they can," said Anakin. "I promise. Don't give up hope now. We're so close."
"Yes, close to our deaths," she spat. "Because Ricard is a sentimental fool, and I was a fool to let him sway me."
Obi-Wan took a step toward her, his hands raised.
"Teba, please, remember why we're doing this. We want to stop Lok Durd. We want to prevent him from using his bioweapon against innocent people."
"We're innocent people," she said, her glare savage. "When are you going to start caring about us?"
"He does care," Anakin said angrily. "Would he be killing himself in your sick house, trying to heal the wounded and ill if he didn't? We both care, Jacqueline. But giving up when we're so close to winning? That's crazy. That's your fear talking, Teba. You need to shut it up before it gets everyone killed." Obi-Wan heard more furious muttering from the crowd of villagers, felt a sharper edge of danger in the air. He touched Anakin's arm, drawing him aside.
"Don't," he said softly. "The ice is very thin. We tread lightly or we fall."
Frustrated, Anakin nodded.
"Fine. But if you're going to negotiate us out of this one, you'd better do it fast. I need to get back to the shield generators."
The shield generators, the power plant, the ailing villagers in the sick house. No matter where they turned, there was a crisis demanding their attention. Obi-Wan looked again at Jacqueline.
"Hear me, please. You have to hear me," he thought. Then said, "Teba, I can't tell you precisely what's happening above Lantib right now. The Force hasn't shown me. But I can tell you what I feel, what I know to be true. There are Jedi trying to help us, but the Separatists are blocking them. That's why they're not here yet."
"Then what good are they?"
cried Jacqueline, rousing her fellow villagers to loud agreement.
"They might as well have stayed at home."
"Jacqueline," gently he took her by the shoulders. "I have been fighting this war since before it officially began. In these past months, I have watched more friends die than I thought was possible, and I have seen atrocities you can't even imagine. For every life I've saved, I've failed to save another. We're trapped in a nightmare, and there are days, so many days, when I think I'll never wake. But..." She shook free of him, trembling.
"Torbell's nightmare is of your making, Jedi. You came here. You brought this terror to us. And now..."
"And now Anakin and I are doing our best to save you from it," he said. "But we can't do it alone, Jacqueline. I'm not lying."
Looking at the close-pressed circle of frightened villagers surrounding them, he raised his voice. "I swear to you on my life, I am not lying. Help has come to Lantib, and it will come to Torbell just as soon as it can."
"And if it's not soon enough?" said Jacqueline, lifting her own voice above the murmurs and soft sobs in the crowd.
Despair was a muffling shroud, threatening to smother them all. Her finger jabbed upward again.
"Any moment, Jedi, any moment, that shield could fail."
"No, it won't," said Anakin. "I'm not going to let it. The shield will hold, Jacqueline, and so will the power plant. If I have to pour blood into them, they will hold." And still, she didn't want to believe them. Her eyes were cold and unforgiving.
"Or we could end this siege here and now. We could give you to the droids so they'll leave, and leave Torbell alone."
"No!"
cried a child's voice.
"No! We can't do that!"
It was Greti. Pushing her way through the crowd, she halted before Jacqueline and glared up at her.
"Teba, it's not right to..."
"Hold your tongue, Greti," said Jacqueline, impatient. "This business is for the adults to meet on and decide. You should go sit with your mam."
"Boley's good without me, she is,"
Greti retorted.
"Thanks to Teeb Kenobi. She'd be planted if he'd not saved her. So would Arad, so would lots of us. He's helped Ricard and poor Brandis' daughter Moijin, and..." And, oh, everyone. I know. I've been helping him. He hardly sleeps or eats, Tiba Jacqueline. He's so tired he cries, but it doesn't stop.
Obi-Wan swallowed a curse. One moment of weakness. One moment where he let the enormity of the task overwhelm him. He'd thought the child was asleep. Feeling Anakin's accusing stare, he shook his head in warning. Not now. Small fists on her skinny hips, an echo of Sufi. Greti trembled with anger.
How can you talk of throwing him to the droids, Tiba? That's bad, that is. That's a shameful thing. I agree,
said another voice, soft with its own weariness. A familiar, broken, grinding sound, and then the crowd was parting to let Devi through in her rickety anti-grav harness. Every awkward step clearly pained her, but she gritted her teeth and kept coming.
Devi, said Anakin, startled. What are you...
Don't fret, she said, finding a shaky smile for him.
Poolin's watching the monitors. She knows to con me if she sees a red needle. It's the red needle here I want to fix.
Like Greti, she turned and glared at Jacqueline.
A short memory you've got, Tiba. Anakin nearly killed himself saving us from the Theta Storm. And you think we should repay that debt by laying down our lives?
Jacqueline shook her head.
If you're green sick for the young one, Devi, that problem's yours. Don't go making it ours.
Devi's cheeks flushed.
I'm green sick for no one, Jacqueline. The Jedi didn't steal Lanteeb. The Seps did that. The Seps plan on using our Damatite to murder innocents. Anakin and Obi-Wan are just trying to stop them. You saw that before. You can't not see it now.
Turning, she stared at her gathered friends and neighbors.
It's easy to stand for what's right when there's no cost but hot air and brave words. So is that the kind of people we are? People who let wrong be done to save ourselves a little pain?
She turned back to Jacqueline, then spat in the dirt.
And you call yourself a teacher?
It was Jacqueline's turn to flush.
Devi!
Obi-Wan held his breath, feeling Anakin tense beside him. At a touch on his hand, he looked down to see Greti, who would have made such a magnificent Jedi. Solemnly, she curled her fingers around his, her two old eyes bright. If I'm wrong, she'll die. If I'm wrong, they'll all die. I can't bear it. Hey, said Anakin under his breath, don't give up now.
I say, we stand firm,
said Devi, when Jacqueline didn't speak again.
I say we hold on. For how long?
Said Jacqueline, but the fight had gone out of her. Now she looked old and tired and sad.
Until help gets here, said Devi, and it will get here. I can't prove it, but I believe it. I believe them.
Jacqueline stared at her, saying nothing, and then she walked away. Uncertain, the crowd of villagers watched her retreat, babbling in consternation and confusion. But Devi wasn't giving up or walking away.
Listen to me, everyone, she shouted. We've come too far to turn back. Yes, we're on our knees, but we're not beaten yet. Not unless we surrender, and then we'll have beaten ourselves.
Silence. Then someone in the crowd called out,
You promise this is nearly over, Jedi? You promise we won't have sheltered you for nothing?
Feeling the sea change in the villagers' volatile emotions, Obi-Wan took a deep breath. You have our promise that we'll defend you to the death. And yes, this is nearly over. Another groundswell of muttered comments, and then, to his surprise, the people of Tor-Bel began drifting away from the square, heading back to their homes and their children to wait out the siege. Anakin smiled. And the negotiator strikes again. He breathed hard for a moment. No, we owe our reprieve to Greti and Devi. Well, yeah, said Anakin. Them too.
Devi.
She slapped Anakin's chest, her face crumpled into a pretend scowl.
You can thank me by taking another look at Bay 6's main feed line. Whatever you did to it last night, it's not holding.
Anakin's amusement vanished.
All right, just give me a minute, would you?
One.
Devi said, then jerked her thumb toward the street. I'll meet you at my ground car. As she headed for her vehicle, each step a challenge, Obi-Wan looked down at Greti. Time for you to go home and get some sleep. Your ma'am will be wondering where you are.
Boli knows where I am, Teeb, said Greti, shrugging. She knows I can help you in the sick house. Wants me to, she does.
Oh, but she was a glorious soul. Her strength had saved him and so many others. He did not want to leave her behind when they left. If they left.
You've helped me enough for now, Greti. You must rest.
How will I manage if you make yourself sick? Her urchin face dimpled.
You won't.
No, I won't. So off you go. He brushed his fingers over her dirty, ragged hair.
And thank you, Greti.
The child retreated, unwilling but obedient, leaving him and Anakin alone on the village square. In silence, they looked at each other.
Stang, Anakin said at last. That was close.
Obi-Wan nodded. Very. Nearly 14 hours had passed since they first felt the stirring in the Force that heralded the arrival of more Jedi. 14 hours of nursing sick people and balky shield generators and the power plant in its slow, inevitable decline. 14 hours that had culminated in this desperate confrontation with Torbell's villagers.
I've tried to see what's happening out there, said Anakin, but I can't. I can't even be certain who's come. I think it's Ahsoka, but...
He rubbed his eyes.
I'm too tired to be sure.
I never knew I could feel this tired.
Neither did I before Zagula.
Don't worry, they will get to us soon.
Do you really believe that? Said Anakin. His expression was bleak.
Yes, Obi-Wan said simply. I have to. Anakin looked up as though he could see through the storm shield, through the hovering cloud of mosquito droids, through the layers of Lanteeb's atmosphere, and out into the cold, dark void of space.
I think it's Grievous, he said, his voice low and full of hate. I think he's the one standing between our people and this planet.
Even if you're right, Anakin, it doesn't matter, he said. Whoever it is, our people will prevail. They haven't come all this way to be beaten on Lanteeb's doorstep.
Anakin glanced at him. Can you tell who's here?
For certain? He shook his head. No. But I want to say Mace Windu.
Master Windu and Ahsoka?
Now there's an interesting team. If it is them, Grievous had better start running. He...
Out in the street, Devi sounded her ground car's horn.
Anakin waved at her. Sorry, I better go. And once I'm done at the plant, I need to take another look at that hinky generator from last night.
Obi-Wan, if you tell me I look terrible and need to sleep, I shall smack you, he said very mildly. I'm no better or worse off than anyone else here.
Obi-Wan!
Anakin, are you really going to make me say it? Frustrated, Anakin shook his head. Don't bother, I'll say it for you.
You'll do what you must.
Yes, I will, he said, still mild. How could he scold when Anakin's fear for him was as loud as a shout? And so will you. He clasped Anakin's shoulder briefly. I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't want to go through this with anyone but you. For once, Anakin had no witty retort. Likewise, he said at last. And if I need help checking the other generators? You know where I'll be. Obi-Wan watched him lope across the square and climb into the ground car beside Devi. As they drove toward the power plant, the mosquito droids hovering overhead buzzed into life and opened fire again. A breath later, the mass of battle droids followed suit. He looked up.
Stang! Mace, if that is you out there, hurry. Torbell can't hold on much longer.
Despite Anakin's persistent nagging, Obi-Wan had not intended to sleep, not with 19 villagers still in need of constant care. But his brutally weary body overruled him. He woke on the floor nearly 2 hours later to find Greti crouched beside one of her stuporous playmates, sponging the sweat of green sickness from the little girl's skin. Hearing him stir, she looked up.
Oh, did I cozzle you?
She said anxious.
I never meant to.
Obi-Wan sat up, his spine cracking. It's all right. For a moment, he was puzzled, and then he realized what was wrong. When did the bombardment stop?
Half an hour ago, about.
Gretty grinned.
Good, isn't it?
He looked around the hushed room. It certainly is. Where's Tiba Sufi?
Gone next door to put her head down, she has.
Gretty said, dropping the sponge cloth into her bowl of water.
It's just us.
Well, it shouldn't be just us, Gretty. He had to smother a yawn. I told you to go home.
I know what you told me, Teep, and I did go home, but I couldn't settle, so I came back.
Exasperated, he shook his head at her. She's as stubborn as Anakin ever was. You'll have your mam so cross with me.
Bowley understands.
Gently, Gretty covered her sick playmate with a blanket.
You do too, Teep.
Yes, he did. The urge to heal was blinding within her. How are our other patients faring? With a shrug, Gretty carried her bowl of mucky water to the sink.
No one's died, not even Rifus. That's good.
Rifus had been shot to pieces by a mosquito droid. He might not be dead yet, but he would be soon if he didn't get to a med center.
Yes, that is good, Gretty.
When was the last time you swallowed your dose of greensick medicine? She busied herself rinsing the sponge cloth. Gretty. Swallowing a pained grunt, Obi-Wan clambered to his feet. I won't have you here if you don't take your dose.
It's horrible,
she muttered as he took the bottle and cup from the cupboard and poured her some. The bottle was perilously close to empty.
You don't take it.
He held out the cup. I can manage without it. You can't. Drink. She drank Sufi's bitter medicine, glowering, then wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. Good girl. But instead of smiling at his praise like she usually did, Gretty stared out of the small window above the sink. With the bombardment ceased, no bright flashes lighting the night sky, her young, thin face was almost lost in shadows.
Did you mean what you said, Obi-Wan, about help coming soon?
Of course I meant it. I'd never lie about something like that. She glanced at him.
Then why are you still scared?
Still scared? And here I thought I was doing such a fine job of hiding from her. I'm tired, Gretty. It's easy to get discouraged when you're tired. But you mustn't think it means I've lost faith in my friends. I haven't. Lips pursed, she rinsed the medicine cup and set it to drain. Then she flicked him a glance.
Have I really been a help to you, Teep?
Yes, an enormous help.
Is that because...
She caught her bottom lip between her teeth.
Obi-Wan, I'm different, aren't I?
The Force give me strength. We're all different, Gretty. And that made her scowl.
You know what I mean.
If only he didn't. Gretty...
Bowley tells me all the time I shouldn't feel things so hard,
she said, drying her hands on the front of her grubby tunic.
But I can't help it. Born this way I was.
Obi-Wan swallowed. I know. She looked at him so hopeful.
Teep, when you go, can you take me with you? Somewhere I can learn about being different.
He should have seen this coming. He should have prepared himself for it. Gretty, I can't, he said, his throat painfully tight. There are ways of doing things where I come from. Rules.
Oh.
She jerked her chin up.
I'm not good enough?
He made himself meet her glittering, wide-eyed stare.
It's too late.
Oh. Her lips trembled.
But I'm good enough.
Waifs and strays. Qui-Gon.
Gretty, you're better than good enough. It's been an honor teaching you what little I know.
Then why can't you...
The child bit her lip.
Rules.
Aching, he shook his head. I'm sorry. In the lamplit gloom behind him, a woman shifted on her cot and moaned. Gretty's stare shifted.
That's Tiba Yancey, that is,
she said.
I didn't think she felt right before.
Obi-Wan turned. It might not be admirable, but the distraction was a relief. Then we'd best get her right, hadn't we? Together, using the Force, they brought down the woman's spiking fever. Then they checked each patient, cot by cot, easing discomfort, changing bandages, and applying Sufi's dwindling ointments and salves. Obi-Wan spent the longest time with Ricard, struggling to ease the man free of his damatite poisoning. With Jacqueline refusing to leave her cottage, Torbell desperately needed its other leader. But the toxic smoke had soaked deep into Ricard's flesh and bones. Wanting to spare Greti, Obi-Wan pushed himself so hard he came close to collapse, but he couldn't break the Damatite's vicious hold. Greti patted his arm.
Teeb, it's hurting yourself you are. Don't. We need you.
Biting back a groan, he pulled himself free of Ricard's suffering, and then, breathing hard, he saw that Arad was awake and watching him from the next cot.
It's all right, Arad, he croaked. Your father will be fine.
Arad's sunken eyes closed, hiding his fear and doubt.
Obi-Wan,
said Greti, tugging his sleeve.
Come and sit.
Too tired to argue, feeling ill and shivery, he let the child chivy him back to his empty spot on the floor and settle him there with his shoulders pressed to the wall. Then she fetched him half a cup of water and stood over him till he drank it. He handed the empty cup back to her. You're very bossy.
That's because you won't listen,
said the girl who fights tooth and nail against taking her medicine.
With a swift, sly grin, Greti dropped to the floor beside him and slid her arm through his. Letting her head fall against his shoulder, she sighed.
It tastes bad.
True, but that's no excuse. Greti giggled.
Now who's bossy?
I'm the grown-up. It's my job. She scoffed at that, but then fell silent. After a while, she sighed again.
Obi-Wan, if it's too late for me, that's not your fault. I do understand. Rules are rules.
It almost broke him that she'd tried to ease his guilt when he'd condemned her to this barren exile.
Yes, Greti, they are.
But we disregarded them for Anakin. Why can't I do the same for her when she's a natural-born healer and we're in desperate need of her skills?
Obi-Wan,
she said,
maybe I could...
But then the droids started firing again, blaster bolts booming, and her thought was lost in a wave of barely suppressed fear. Obi-Wan took her hand.
It's all right, Greti. Anakin won't let the shield fail. And help will come, believe me. It will come.
She was so frightened. He could hear the whimper trapped in her throat. But like a Jedi, she refused to give in to her fear.
I believe you, Obi-Wan.
Stang. What a waste, he thought.
Good girl, he said. Now close your eyes and meditate just like I showed you.
Trusting him, she closed her eyes. When he was satisfied that he could leave her for a while, Obi-Wan let himself sink into the Force.
Show me what's out there. Show me what's to come.
But the future remained elusive. All he had left was his faith. And his faith was starting to wear horribly thin. Dry-mouthed with tension, Ahsoka stood on Indomitable's bridge and watched Gold and Arrow squadrons engage the enemy. The pilot's fierce joy resounded through the Force, waking echoes of joy in her. More than anything, she wanted to be out there with them. Only she wasn't a good enough combat pilot. Not yet. But Master Windu had promised her she'd see plenty of action once the blockade was broken and they could hit Lanteeb soil. And that eased her disappointment.
If the blockade is broken, that is. If we get to touch dirt.
Master Windu and Admiral Yularen were in the battle operations room, coordinating the attack via holotracking. So far, Grievous still hadn't found a way to jam them again, which meant there were full communications between Indomitable and the pilots. She'd have been welcome to observe with them, but she wanted to watch this fight live, in real space, just as she'd watched the previous two skirmishes. Master Windu didn't mind. He'd quizzed her on both engagements afterward, testing her grasp of tactics and strategy, looking for weaknesses in her assessments that might cause trouble later. She'd impressed him. She wasn't supposed to notice or care, but she did. Impressing Mace Windu meant something. It was almost as rewarding as impressing Anakin. So far, there'd been no all-out, no-holds-barred clash with Grievous's battle group. Just a couple of short, sharp jabs in his flank to keep him occupied, to stop him from thinking about why the enemy was simply hanging around. It was all part of the plan. Thinking about that, Ahsoka felt her pulse race.
Taria.
It was crazy.
Crazy?
The crazy woman was going to get herself killed. The void beyond the bridge's viewport filled and flashed with fire as an Aero Squadron pilot knocked down two Vulture droids with a single shot. One of the crew watching let out a restrained but heartfelt, "Yes!" Grinning, Ahsoka kept most of her attention on the fighters from Gold Squadron. Anakin's boys. Her boys. She and Anakin shared them. And then, more Vulture droids spewed out of one of Grievous's battleships, hornets from a malevolent nest. A moment later, she heard a buzz from the communications console behind her. "Okay, here she comes," Lieutenant Avery announced and toggled a switch on her board. "Master Windu? Admiral? We have a green light."
"Thank you, Lieutenant," said Master Windu calmly over the comm, as though the Lieutenant had just made a passing note of the time. "Alert Pioneer and Coruscant Sky." And that explained why there were more Vulture droids on the offensive. They'd spotted Taria in the captured Techno-Union ship closing in.
She must have alerted the Seps, let them know she was coming in hot. And they must believe she was one of theirs, which meant Master Yoda's audacious plan was working. Ahsoka wished she could reach out through the Force, touch her new friend's mind, and let her know she wasn't alone. But she didn't. She couldn't. There might be a Force-sensitive on one of Grievous's ships. It was too dangerous to take the chance. A stirring in her mind, a rush of recognition, and then she saw the sleek, swift Sep ship with Taria at the controls flashing past Indomitable's port flank. Master Windu had chosen Fireball to lead the fake attack against their fake enemy. Ahsoka held her breath, watching Taria's desperate attempt to avoid interception. Stang, she was a great pilot. She was really making this look good. So was Fib. More Gold Squadron ships poured after him. They were all making this look so good, no way would Grievous ever suspect it was a lie. Vulture droids swarmed to protect the Sep ship. Half of Aero Squadron broke off to engage them. And then, yes, 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 there were the hammers zipping out of Pioneer, and it was a full-on four-way engagement, the void above Lantee bursting into furious action. Fingers clenched to fists, every sense extended, Ahsoka did her best to follow each individual engagement at once and keep track of Taria being chased by Fib and three other gold ships. She nearly cried out when one of Fib's boys, who was it? Could she sense it? Sandcat? Was that him? Caught a clip from a Vulture and spun madly out of control. But he was all right. He was safe and limping for home. And then, someone else wasn't so lucky. A gold boy was blown clear out of the sky. Groans sounded around the bridge as grief tightened her throat. That was Bammer. He liked Nerf stew and opera. Stang, I just felt Bammer die. Fireball had to be hurting, but his course stayed true. He and his wingman hunted after Taria, leaving the rest of Gold Squadron and the boys from Hammer and Arrow to keep the surviving Vulture droids busy.
They're making it look so real. If I didn't know better, I'd think they were trying to kill her.
Grievous was still fooled. He sent out more Vultures to help her, and then, just like Master Yoda planned it, with perfect precision, Fireball clipped Taria's starboard fin. As the Sep ship went into an impressive, swirling roll, Taria blew the fake charge they'd rigged in the left-hand engine pod. The Vulture droids let her pass through, streaming smoke, and then closed ranks to charge Fireball and Can, his wingman, their plasma cannons blazing.
"Break now, Fib! Break now!"
Ahsoka wanted to scream the words out loud. She wanted to pound her fists on the transparasteel viewport, then race below decks to the hangar and grab a fighter and join him. She hated this watching. Watching was for droids. But Fireball didn't need her help. Next to Anakin, he was Gold Squadron's best pilot. He and Can tore up the sky, shattering droid after droid into slivers of hot metal. Taria was nothing but a fast, dwindling light in the distance now, safely on her way to a staged crash landing on Lanteeb. Ahsoka laughed, giddy with relief. But that didn't last long. There was still a real firefight to win. Not only would Grievous suspect trouble if the Republic ships suddenly withdrew, the rest of his Vulture ships still needed turning into slag. Closing her eyes, she sent a message winging after Taria.
"May the Force be with you, Master Damson. Don't do anything stupid. Bring yourself back alive, and please, bring Anakin and Master Kenobi back with you."
At As crash landings went, she'd lived through worse. Still, Taria remarked, just to hear the sound of her own voice, I'm pretty sure I can die happy without living through any more. The Techno-Union ship's buckled cockpit was rapidly filling with smoke, sparks and little flames dancing over the main console and above her head. She coughed, the taste of burned circuits and melting plastoid acrid on her tongue. Time to go. The body Senator Organa had supplied for this ruse was strapped into the co-pilot's seat. It was a special ops, and that was all she knew. Working fast, closing her mind to the implications, Taria unstrapped the dead woman and shifted her across to the pilot's seat. Briefly, she rested a hand on the dark, lolling head.
Thank you. I don't know how you really died, but your sacrifice is appreciated and won't be forgotten. At least not by me.
This close to Lantiba City and Dird Separatist troops, it wasn't safe to use the Force. All it would take was one dark side sensitive, and the plan would be blown. And even though she was about to destroy the ship, she wasn't prepared to use her lightsaber either. The mark of its blade was simply too distinctive. That meant using brute strength to open the damaged hatch, and she had quite a lot less of that these days. Spurred on by the growing cockpit fire, she kicked and shoved and bashed her way to relative safety. Stang! Folded onto her hands and knees, bruised and bleeding from scrapes on her left cheek and the back of her right hand, she took a few precious seconds to catch her breath. There was dirt and grass beneath her, empty sky overhead. In the distance, she could just make out the first faint wailings of an emergency response vehicle. Right, she muttered. Now it's really time to go. Staggering to her feet, she tightened the strap of the satchel slung over her chest and looked around. There, northeast, there was the city, right where her personal nav beacon said it would be. The spaceport's lights gleamed and glittered in the darkness, almost pretty. By her best guess, it was some 15 clicks away, a nice, brisk jog. Breathing deeply again, clearing her disease-damaged lungs of smoke, she patted her lightsaber once, a little ritual of reassurance, then unzipped the security pocket on the thigh of her bodysuit and pulled out a remote detonator. The wailing siren was much closer now. Swiftly backing away from the crashed ship, Taria thumbed the remote. A warning tremor rippled through the Force as its signal triggered the untraceable explosive charges designed to complete the crash landing's artistic effect. Light and sound erupted together as the two mini-bombs exploded. She felt heat caress her stinging face, felt the released energy snap through her flesh and bones. The ground shuddered, the air roared. The Techno-Union ship leapt, then broke apart. She nodded approvingly and put the remote back in its pocket. Nice work, Senator. Very nice indeed. Flirting with danger, she waited a moment longer and watched the flashing lights of the approaching emergency responder. Only one vehicle? Well, now that's just lazy. But it made her life easier, so she wasn't about to complain. Just before the crash team arrived on the scene, she retreated farther into the night's shadows, melted into the Force, and used its light to show her the fastest, safest way to the city. The temptation to touch Obi-Wan's mind was a torment, but she resisted. Without knowing exactly where he was, or what kind of trouble he'd landed himself in, she could easily do more harm than good. But don't worry, Ascaba, she promised him, lightly running. I'm here now. All you have to do is hold on. Chapter 19.
I'm so sorry, Mistress Padme, but the director of Bagrila Industries is unable to take your calm.
Sighing, Padme pinched the bridge of her nose.
Another one. And now I'm running out of names and favors. All right, 3PO. Who's next on the list?
The Yeilti Corporation, Mistress,
said C-3PO.
But it's half a standard hour before they can be contacted.
Fine. While I'm waiting, you can bring me another calf.
Oh, Mistress Padme, are you sure that's wise?
Right now, there was more calf than blood running through her veins. She should change her mind, but...
Just bring it, 3PO.
As the droid withdrew, she turned back to the living room's picture window to watch the rain falling in sheets upon the city. Lacy tatters of light gray cloud drifted between the buildings. This high above street level, it was easy to believe there was no street level, that she floated in a luxurious balloon free of all ties to common ground or reality.
I wonder if it's raining on Lantib.
Fear for Anakin stabbed through her. The latest comm from Yoda wasn't encouraging.
Unbroken, the blockade remains, Senator.
Even as she called in every favor owed to her, she'd begged Palpatine to relent and authorize more GAR ships to help Admiral Yularen and Master Windu. But Palpatine remained obdurate. The situation was delicate, he claimed. There were wheels within wheels, precariously spinning. For the first time in her life, she was angry with him. Disappointed. For the first time in their long friendship, she thought he'd let her down. We owe Anakin and Obi-Wan our homeworld. What does it say about us if we refuse to repay that debt? Though they still had no antidote to the bioweapon, Queen Jamilia had courageously promised 2 squadrons of pilots. It was the best she could do, given that Naboo wasn't a militarized society. But Palpatine was Supreme Chancellor, the ultimate commander of the GAR.
He can't be putting politics above our friends' lives. He just can't.
But what else was she supposed to think? Here, said Bail, walking up behind her. To save time and minimize complications, they were both working out of her apartment. Your calf, which by rights I should tip down the sink. How many mugs does this make since lunch? 4?
5,
Padme admitted with a rueful smile, and faced him.
But who's counting?
He handed her the steaming mug. Your protocol droid. It's in the kitchen ready to blow a circuit relay fretting over you.
I'm fine.
Bail gave her a sharp look. No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
But there was no dwelling on it.
So, where are we up to?
Because he knew her so well, he didn't bother arguing. I'm waiting on 2 return comms, he said, retreating to the arm of the nearest chair. But I'm not hopeful about either.
What about Brental?
Brental's promised us 3 heavy-armored dreadnoughts. If we can guarantee them protection against the bioweapon. Bail scowled. Brental, Anaxis, the Chazimico conglomerate, everyone singing the same song, Padme. Of course we'll help, once there's an antidote.
We can't really blame them, Bail,
she said and took a sip of calf to hide her distress.
After Chandrila, everyone's terrified of a reprisal attack.
Which, of course, was the point. Bail perched on the arm of the nearest chair. I just spoke to Trin.
How's he holding up?
He shook his head. He's not. He says he's at a total dead end. I've never seen him so upset, Padme. I wish...
You had no choice,
she said gently.
He's one of the best in his field, and the only man you could trust. You had to get him involved.
I know, he said, and ran a hand down his tired face. But this is hurting him, badly. He was so despondent. It wasn't like him.
You can't think about that, Bail. We have to focus on coordinating the civilian fleet.
Well, that sounds fine in theory, he retorted, glaring. Except that without an antidote, there won't be one. 30 Naboo starfighters is an escort, not a fleet.
I know, she said after a moment. I'm sorry. Please, let's not fight. I've still got people to calm. Have you?
Sliding off the chair, Bail nodded. Don't worry. I'm not giving up.
Of course you're not, and neither am I. Bail, we're going to make this happen.
He wanted to believe her. Stang, I want to believe me. But after 9 straight hours of prevarications and outright refusals, belief was in ever-diminishing supply.
Go on, she said. Get back to your list and let me get back to mine.
Alone again, she turned to stare at the rain.
I'm doing my best, Anakin. Don't give up hope yet.
Bantina stood behind her lab bench, trying not to feel the burning pain in her face where Dird had struck her 3 times because he didn't like what she'd said. There was blood in her mouth, warm and metallic. He'd loosened some teeth, too. It didn't matter. All she cared about now was getting in his way, tripping him up and making him fail. Diverted from beating her further by Colonel Berev, the Nymoidian was lurching around the lab in a rage, comlink clutched in one fat, sweating hand.
What do you mean, crash-landed? What do you mean there's nothing left but a charred body? You told me this agent had urgent information for me, and she was safely past the GAR battle group. And now you're saying the agent's dead, and I can't have the message? Barev!
Whatever the colonel was saying, it did nothing to soothe Dird's escalating fury. He was being denied what he wanted, the one thing he could not tolerate.
Barev, shut up!
He shouted.
I'm not interested in your excuses. Tell me about the Jedi. Is that village siege broken yet? Are they on their way here to me?
More buzzing from Barev provoked an incoherent shriek from Dird.
I don't care anymore, you stupid human! This madness has gone on long enough. Empty every last ammunition store on the planet and send it to that village along with every droid you have left, even the SBDs. I want those Jedi in my compound within a day. Do you hear me, Barev? Do what I tell you, or I will tear you limb from limb!
Bantina wanted to weep. Anakin and Master Kenobi were still safe, and Grievous hadn't defeated the Jedi fleet.
All I have to do is play for more time and ruin Dird's precious bioweapon, just in case the Jedi fail.
Dird threw his comlink down on another bench and turned back to her, menacing.
Well?
It wasn't hard to look scared. She was scared, even though he no longer had the power to truly hurt her. She stopped fighting the tears because they pleased him and let her hands tremble as she picked up her data pad.
General, I'm sorry,
she whispered.
I'm trying, but what you're asking me to do, virtually remake the formula, it's difficult. You know how long it took to perfect it in the first place. Now you want me to start over. It means rebalancing the central matrix. It means...
He struck her again, so hard this time that she nearly blacked out.
I don't care! He bellowed. Do what I ask, or I'll bring those puling little bloodsacks here and peel them while you watch.
He had to believe the threat terrified her. He couldn't suspect she knew her nephews were safe, so she groveled at his feet, sobbing, and begged for their lives. He kicked her.
Get up! Get up! Your promises mean nothing! I want the results! I want to test my new formula tonight!
Tonight was too soon. She was nowhere near close to reworking the weapon so it would kill on initial release, and then render itself inert after 3 minutes contact with oxygen. It had to be 3 minutes, even though a lot of people could die in that short space of time. She couldn't risk him discovering her duplicity. Wincing, letting Dird see and hear her pain, Bantina clawed to her feet.
General, I will do what you want. I swear I will. But by tonight... I don't think...
He thrust his flat, moist face into hers.
I don't care what you think. I want my new formula, and I'm locking you in here until I get it.
He stepped back.
Since I can't trust Barev out of my sight, I'm returning to the spaceport. You've got until morning, Doctor. If you don't have something for me then...
You can't leave, she said. What if there's a problem? What if I need you to...
He shoved her.
The only thing you need is a miracle. I suggest you start working on one. Don't forget, those little pink blood sacks' lives are depending on you.
The door closed and locked behind him. Spitting out blood, smearing her mouth clean on her sleeve, Bantina stared at it. Then she banished the pain and got back to work. Hours passed. Day dragged into night. Dird didn't return, which was fine by her. She'd only protested to fool him. It was easier to concentrate when he wasn't pacing and bellowing and knocking her around. No food was brought to her, but that didn't matter. There wasn't time to eat. She needed every minute, every second, to sabotage her own creation. When she heard the clunking in the air vent over her head, for a moment she thought she was dreaming. And then... The vent's grill kicked out, landing with a clatter on the lab's floor, and a lithely muscular human woman in a dust-smeared black bodysuit landed lightly on the balls of her feet beside it.
Bantina Fannin? I'm Taria Danson.
A silver-hilted lightsaber was belted at the woman's hip. Bantina backed up till her legs bumped her lab stool, then sat.
You're a Jedi.
That's right,
said the woman, flicking her long blue-green braid off her shoulder.
Doctor, I know this is a surprise, but I need you to focus.
But that was easier said than done.
How did you find me? How did you get in here? Like you said, I'm a Jedi.
The woman grinned. There was dried blood on her cheek and one hand.
We're sneaky. Please, don't. Fine. The very short explanation is that your mother made sure we got your message, and thanks to the embedded code in the recording, we were able to pinpoint your exact location. Because of my previous experience, I was chosen to infiltrate the planet and this facility.
Dazed, Bantina shook her head.
Oh, I see.
I like your mother, by the way, the woman added, brushing dust from her bodysuit. She's feisty.
Really?
And then some instinct pricked her.
You're the Jedi who rescued her.
Another grin.
There were two of us, actually.
Bantina couldn't breathe for a moment.
Thank you,
she said at last, her voice rough. But you're not here to rescue me, are you?
Oh, I'm more than happy to rescue you, Doctor, said the Jedi. But first, I need to blow up this compound and every last particle of that weapon you invented.
You're serious? She said blankly. After Chandra-La, said the Jedi, her face twisting. Absolutely.
Oh, Chandra-La. I'm sorry for that,
she whispered.
So sorry.
Taria Damson looked at her in silence, her tawny golden eyes very cool.
Are you?
Then what say you prove it by answering my questions? Where is the bioweapon stockpiled? How many droids and SEP officers do I have to go through to get there? Where's our dear friend Locke Durd? And last but not least, where are Obi-Wan and Anakin? I thought I'd rescue them too, since I'm here.
Heart thumping, Bantina stared at the exotic woman in front of her. You mean that? You can rescue them?
I never say what I don't mean, Doctor, said the Jedi, and glanced at the lab ceiling. Quite a way above our heads, there's a Republic battle group waiting for my signal. Once I've done what I came here to do, they'll mop up the SEPs while I go after Masters Kenobi and Skywalker. From what I can gather, they're in a bit of hot water.
Anakin.
So solemn and trusting, so compassionate. Life had made him older than his years, suffering too. She'd seen that in him, felt it. And she'd betrayed him. To his death, if Durd had his way.
How are you going to blow up the compound?
The Jedi patted the small satchel slung across her chest. I have explosives here that will do the trick nicely. I've already seeded most of the air vents. Now I just need to take care of your lab and wherever the bioweapon's stored.
Just like that. How efficient, Bantina thought.
I see, she said, her mouth dry. But look, about Anakin and Master Kenobi. They've been hiding in a mining village called Torbel. It's somewhere southwest of Lantiba, hours away. But Durd found them and now they're out of time. He's sending more droids and ammunition to break through their defenses. Master Damson, he's determined to hand them over to Count Dooku.
Really?
Said Taria Damson, her voice soft.
Well, we'll see about that.
Bantina looked at her. Like Anakin, like Master Kenobi, this woman was surrounded by an aura of otherness, a quality that set her apart from normal beings. There was power in her, a great coiled spring of it. The lab's chemical-tainted air seemed to vibrate in her presence. And, like Anakin and Master Kenobi, she inspired an instinctive trust.
If she says she can rescue them, then I believe her. But right now, she has to leave.
Master Damson.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
You must know my life is over. I created a weapon that killed thousands of innocent beings. I'm a mass murderer.
Yes, from a certain point of view you are,
Taria said slowly.
But not by choice.
Bantina shook her head.
That's not true. That's a story people like me tell ourselves so we're not the villain. I did have a choice, and I chose the lives of my family and friends over the lives of strangers.
Something softened in Taria's gaze.
Most people would.
I can't speak for most people, she said. I can only answer for myself. Her heart was pounding. She felt cold and ill.
But I have to. I have to.
Leave the explosives with me. I'll prime this lab and the bioweapon production and storage units. I swear. I'll see this compound reduced to a smoking crater. You find Anakin and Master Kenobi. Get them off this forsaken planet. And please, tell them I'm sorry.
Bantina?
Taria frowned.
No. We can both get out of here once the explosives are set.
No, we can't. She touched the collar around her neck. If I cross the compound's perimeter, this will kill me. Then I'll get it off you. Bantina smiled.
There's no time. Besides, how often do we get the chance to put right our worst mistake?
A long silence. Then Taria tugged the satchel over her head, opened it, and pulled out a small black sphere.
Each charge is self-contained with a polybond grip, she said briskly. Her bruised face was a mask, all emotion locked behind it. They'll stick to anything. Use two in here, the rest on the bioweapons. The charge will vaporize the toxin.
She unzipped a pocket in her bodysuit and pulled out a remote.
This is the detonator. See the toggle here? Press it once, then press it again and hold it down. Detonation occurs 5 seconds later.
The mask slipped then, and she caught her breath.
Bantina.
She held out her hand and saw with pride it was perfectly steady.
That sounds quite straightforward, Master Damson. I'm sure I'll manage.
Taria dropped the charge back into the satchel, then handed it and the detonator to her.
Is dirt in the compound?
The satchel was quite heavy, the detonator surprisingly light.
No. He's gone to harass Colonel Barev, the Separatist liaison officer. They've been quite at odds lately, what with one thing and another.
Taria grimaced.
Stang.
I was hoping...
It's for the best, she said. His absence will make it much easier for me to do this.
Without him here, the facility is practically deserted. He took his personal droid with him and sent the compound's remaining battle droids after Anakin and Master Kenobi.
All right, said Taria. Her tawny eyes had gone dark. Is there anything else I need to know? You won't reach Torbel in time without a fast ground car. You'll find one parked around the right side of the building. If you wait until this place explodes, you should be able to steal it without attracting attention.
Taria smiled.
Seems feisty is the Fernan women's trademark. Mother. Taria.
Don't worry, the Jedi said, her voice shaking.
Mata Fernan will know what kind of daughter she had.
Tears blurred Bantina's vision, but only briefly.
I need one last thing from you. Dird's locked me in here. Can you?
Sure I can, said Taria, and with a wave of her hand, opened the lab door.
There you are.
Bantina clasped her arm.
Thank you. Now, go and save Anakin and Master Kenobi.
With a nod and a half smile, Taria leapt up to the air vent, wriggled her way in through the open grill, and was gone. Bantina placed two charges in the lab, then tipped the rest down her shirt, buttoned her lab coat to hide the bulge, and slipped the detonator into her pocket. Then she let herself out of the lab and hurried along the empty corridor toward the weapons production complex and the storage unit. For the first time in a long time, she felt utterly free. Luck Dird leaned forward, reached over the driver's seat backrest, and slapped at KD-77's metal arm.
What are you dawdling for, you stupid machine? Drive faster! I want to see where that woman's up to with my weapon!
The droid turned its head, revealing a flare of orange photoreceptors.
I am driving at the permitted speed limit, General.
Do I look like I care about speed limits? Do you think speed limits apply to me?
If he didn't need the droid, he'd rip its insolent head off.
Drive faster!
General,
said KD-77, and increased the ground car's speed. Slumping in his seat, Dird folded his hands over his belly.
Stupid droid!
Feeling rankled and hard done by, he brooded through the ground car's armored side window at Lantiba's dark, empty streets. Stupid droid, stupid Barev, stupid everything.
I am too important to be suffering like this. I cannot believe that barb of a colonel tried to argue with me about sending the rest of his super battle droids to Torbel,
he said.
I cannot believe he stood in that spaceport and told me to my face that his security needs supersede mine. What security needs? The spaceport's in no danger. General Grievous is seeing to that. No, I'm the one in danger, with those two Jedi still on the loose. I tell you, KD-77, he wants them to escape Torbel. He wants them to kill me. Don't you think so?
It is a plausible scenario, General.
This time, he wrapped his knuckles on the back of KD-77's head.
It's not plausible, you idiot. It's a fact. Colonel Barev is plotting to destroy me. But he'll fail. They always fail, because I am Lockdurd.
He pressed his nose to the window beside him.
I can't see a thing out there. How far to the compound?
842 meters.
But the rest of the droid's answer was lost in a brilliant red and white explosion that lit up Lantiba's night sky in a false and burning dawn. KD-77 slammed the ground car to a halt.
What was that?
Durd said. His voice was squeaking like a grub's, but he didn't care.
It wasn't the compound. It can't have been the compound. Get out! Get out and tell me what that was!
KD-77 idled the ground car to stationary hover and got out. It was so obedient. If only Barev would follow orders with the same mindless alacrity. After a moment, Durd activated the window and stuck his head out.
Well, droid, don't just stand there!
Then he coughed, because the cold night air was full of smoke and stink.
What's going on?
The ground car's headlights bleached KD-77 from dark red almost to white. It turned, its photoreceptors eerie, its metal body backlit by plumes of smoke and leaping flames.
General, the compound has been destroyed.
Hive Mother, protect me! The Jedi! KD-77, get back here!
He shrieked as bile rose, choking into his throat.
Drive me back to the spaceport! Hurry! Hurry!
They passed two emergency response vehicles on their return journey. Durd stared at them, his stomachs churning. Only two? Was that how little Barev counted his safety?
I could be dead right now. A matter of minutes and I'd have been in the compound when it blew. I could be scattered across Lantiba in the pieces. And would Barev care? I'll lay short odds he wouldn't.
He felt sick enough to vomit. This was a disaster. His compound, his weapon, his captive scientist, all gone. When Count Dooku heard the news, he'd be furious. But no. No. He had to stay calm. Panic wasn't the answer. He had to think. There was a way out of this. There was always a way out.
The weapon's not all destroyed. I can delay the attack on Bespin and retrieve a sample. I can kidnap another scientist to rework the formula. I can recover from this. I will recover from this. Barev, on the other hand...
Ignoring the human separatists in the spaceport security complex, Durd ordered KD-77 to kick in Barev's office door.
Barev!
He snarled, marching into the room.
Explain to me how you let this happen!
Jaw dropped. The human stared.
Durd, you're alive!
Idiot, he thought, then barked. Obviously disappointed, Colonel!
What? You're blaming me?
Barev leapt up from the chair behind his desk.
You think I had something to do with your compound's destruction?
He sneered.
Not directly. You don't have the guts. No, the Jedi did this. But since you've failed to capture them, then yes, I do hold you responsible.
The Jedi? Said Barev, incredulous. The Jedi are still trapped in Torbel, you fool! This is your doing, Durd. Through ignorance or incompetence, probably both, you ignored safety protocols and jeopardized an entire city sector. Believe me, I'll be making a full report to Count Dooku and telling him what a useless joke you are, and...
fingers fastened tight around Barev's convulsing throat. Laughing aloud at the terror in his ashen face, Dird dragged the human across the desk until their foreheads were almost touching.
"Barev," he said softly, "I'm afraid that you won't be telling Count Dooku anything."
Watching the life drain out of Barev's pale, ugly eyes was a visceral pleasure. Letting the body drop, Dird snatched up a comlink from the office's console and tossed it to KD-77.
"Make sure that's secure, then raise General Grievous for me."
The droid was a communications genius. Moments later, it gave the comlink back to Dird.
"Grievous, this is General Locke Dird,"
he said, staring at the stinking pile of flesh and bone that had been Colonel Barev.
"My safety cannot be guaranteed on Lantib. I am coming to you with urgent information for Count Dooku. I believe he's ordered you to cooperate with me fully. Good. Then stand by to receive my ship."
Without giving the disgusting creature a chance to reply, he disconnected the comlink and looked at his droid.
"And I think that's that."
KD-77's photoreceptors flared.
"What about the Jedi, General?"
he smiled.
"What about them? They're not going anywhere. I'll send Grievous to collect them once those Republic ships are taken care of."
"An excellent idea, General. But I would be remiss not to point out that Grievous has been known to fail."
True. Dird felt his face twist with revulsion.
"Then I'll give the order to kill them. Either way, droid, the Jedi are dead."
Obi-Wan was trying to snatch a few minutes of sleep when he was jolted upright by a familiar but totally unexpected presence. Taria.
"Obi-Wan,"
said Gretty and stopped rolling the bandage she held.
"Are you green sick?"
He'd given up trying to send the child home. "No, I'm fine." Gretty put the bandages away and get some sleep.
"You look funny," she said. "Are you sure it's not green sick you are?"
He clambered to his feet, every muscle and bone protesting. "I said I'm fine. Now do as you're told."
"But..."
Pouting, she slumped on her cot.
"Where are you going?"
"Not far, just into the street. I need some fresh air. Come and get me if a patient wakes." Nights were long on Lantib. Plasma blasts splattering against Anakin's shield lit up the persistent darkness in fits and bursts. The bombardment's boom and blat shuddered through his bones, but he hardly noticed it. After all this time, he'd grown numb to the angry sound.
"Taria, are you there?"
He felt the Force stir, sluggish.
"Taria."
So it hadn't been a dream.
"Taria."
But something was wrong. At least, more wrong. She felt drained and full of pain, worried for him.
"I'm still breathing, Taria."
He felt what she wanted to do. Force sprint her way through the mass droids and into the village. It was precisely the kind of mad plan Taria would dream up. And it just might work, but he'd need Anakin's help. Seeking him in the Force, flinching at the physical cost of even so small a use of it, he found his former apprentice on the other side of the village, replacing a length of wiring in Shield Generator 3. One look at him and Anakin was scowling, furious.
"Obi-Wan, what are you doing? You swore you'd..."
"Be quiet," he snapped. "Taria's here, and she needs to get in. If you power down Generator 7 just for a moment, I'll hold off the droids." Anakin stared at him, his face thin enough now to be the face of a stranger.
"You're not kidding."
"Right. Guess I'll come back to this." They pushed themselves into a jog and followed the shield perimeter to Generator 7. For the first time in days, Obi-Wan looked at the droids on its other side. 30 of them in this section, steadily blasting away. He felt a hot rage rise. Anakin glanced at him. "I know." Then he peered through the shield and past the droids.
"I can't see her, Obi-Wan, or feel her."
"Are you sure Master Damson's..."
"Quite sure. Stand by the generator."
"Yes, Master," Anakin murmured and did as he was told. Centering himself, Obi-Wan pulled his lightsaber from the inside pocket of his filthy, tattered shirt and ignited the blade. Clean blue light sliced through the bombardment's red glow.
Taria? Here.
He felt her energy burst through the force, heard Anakin's swiftly indrawn breath as he felt it too. And then, there was a chatter of mechanical alarm, and battle droids were flying pell-mell into the air, force-pushed like so many unwanted dolls.
Now, Obi-Wan, now!
Now, Anakin, he said and braced himself, lightsaber lifted. Anakin cut the generator. First came a whining growl, then a section of plasma barrier collapsed. The scattered droids regrouped and opened fire.
Obi-Wan,
said Anakin.
Let me...
No, he said, knocking blaster bolts aside to left and right. Stand by that shield. He felt Taria force sprinting toward him, but he still couldn't see her. She must have been way behind the lines. Another eruption of droids. She was pushing and sprinting, the crazy woman.
Hurry, Taria. Hurry. I can't hold them much longer.
His lightsaber felt so heavy. He'd used up nearly all his strength in the sick house, poured it into the bodies of the men and women and children he didn't want to die. Vision smearing, he heard Anakin curse and felt a sting of pain in him.
It's nothing. It only singed me. Obi-Wan!
I know, he gasped, struggling to stay on his feet, fighting to deflect the barrage of laser bolts.
She's nearly here. Nearly.
Then he saw her, stumbling out of her force sprint into ordinary running, all her strength used up just like him, full of desperate intensity just like him. Taria, who shouldn't be here, and somehow was. As she crossed the shield perimeter, a blaster bolt caught her high in the back. She cried out and went down hard, skidding face first across the dirt and grass.
Taria!
He dropped his lightsaber and lunged for her.
Anakin, get the shield up!
But Anakin didn't need telling. Generator 7 was already humming back to life, a fresh flow of plasma particles resealing them inside the village. Then, at the last moment, a cloud of mosquito droids slipped through the swiftly closing gap and descended on them in a swarm.
I've got them! Shouted Anakin. You look after Taria!
On his knees beside her, Obi-Wan watched as Anakin snatched up his dropped lightsaber with one hand and ignited his own weapon with the other. The 12 mosquitoes attacked, and within heartbeats, he'd slash them all to scrap metal. Obi-Wan turned back to Taria, so still on the cold, hard ground, and his relief surrendered to a raw and shocking grief.
No, not like this. It's too soon. Taria!
Hold on, he begged her. I'm with you. Don't go. He felt Anakin close behind him.
Obi-Wan, is she?
His fingers were pressed to the pulse in her throat. He felt her blood moving, felt his eyes sting.
No, she's alive.
Groaning, Taria half rolled over.
Don't worry,
she wheezed.
You can't get rid of me that easily. The bodysuit's a present from Senator Organa. Experimental. New energy dispersal fabric. I'm a little singed, but not perforated.
Another groan.
Oh, help me sit up.
Obi-Wan slid his arm beneath her and lifted. When she was upright, she let out a long sigh, then smiled at him.
Why, hello there, handsome. What's a nice boy like you doing on a back world like this?
Pent-up rage and terror exploded through him.
Taria! Don't shout at me, I'm slightly wounded,
she said, then smiled past him at Anakin.
Greetings, Master Skywalker. Or can I call you Sky Guy?
Anakin dropped to one knee, still holding both deactivated lightsabers.
Call me anything you like, Master Damson, provided you tell us what's going on.
The air boomed and echoed as the thwarted droids emptied their blasters against the plasma barrier. Eyebrows raised, Taria stared at them.
Tell me that shield's going to hold first.
Obi-Wan looked at Anakin. It'll hold. He took back his lightsaber and tucked it into his shirt.
Taria, please. What are you doing here? The very short version?
She winced, easing her right shoulder.
Dird's compound's destroyed. His stockpiles of bioweapon are gone with it, blown to smithereens.
What about Dird? Said Anakin.
The barb's still in one piece, she said. He wasn't there.
Anakin's disappointment was palpable.
Then where is he? And where's his pet scientist, Dr. Fernan?
Obi-Wan tried to check the blaster hit in Taria's back, but she pushed his hand away, impatient.
Dird somewhere on Lantib. As for Bantina Fernan,
I'm sorry. She's dead.
Dead?
Anakin stared at her.
You blew her up with the compound?
Taria's face was full of sorrow. No, she blew herself up. Anakin, all she cared about was making sure you and Obi-Wan were safe. And she wanted to make amends. Obi-Wan exchanged glances with Anakin, then sighed. So you left the explosives with her and came after us. Taria.
It was her choice, Obi-Wan. I honored it.
Of course you did, he thought. Taking her hand, he checked the thready pulse in her wrist. We'll talk about it later. What else is...
There are more droids on the way, Taria said grimly, with a lot of ammunition. And my guess is they're right behind me.
Stang, said Anakin,
and pressed fingertips to his eyes. Master Damson, you picked the wrong time to make a house call. Still holding Taria's hand, Obi-Wan could feel the bright, hot pain of the blaster hit. And there was something beneath it, something darker and deeper, ruthlessly devouring her. Oh, no.
Obi-Wan, she said, her voice soft. It's all right.
No, it wasn't. But his grief and anger would have to wait. Tell us the rest. He and Anakin listened in growing alarm as she filled them in. Chandra-La and the widespread panic following the attack, how Mace Windu's battle group was hopelessly outnumbered, and how one of the greatest scientists in the Republic couldn't create an antidote to Dird's bioweapon.
There's some kind of missing biosequence, she said. That's what Yoda said anyway. Something to do with neutralizing the raw dematite. I don't really understand it. All I know for certain is that Dr. Netzel is stuck.
We're all stuck, and... The look on Anakin's face stopped her.
What?
Anakin's eyes were fierce.
Obi-Wan, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Chapter 20. Obi-Wan nodded, the first hope he'd felt in days stirring to life.
Sufi's herbs.
It's possible. At the very least, it has to be helpful, surely. Anakin turned to Taria.
Did you bring a comlink?
Of course, she said, frowning.
And we need to contact Master Windu on Indomitable. Tell him...
What kind of comlink? Anakin demanded.
Can it transmit bio-info?
Taria fished in her bodysuit pocket.
I think so. According to Ban Yaro, it can practically fly a ship on its own.
Obi-Wan took the comlink from her and inspected it. We must get to the sick house, not just for you, Taria. There's something Bail's scientist friend needs to know.
You're not making any sense, she said, puzzled. Did you get hit by a blaster bolt?
No. Come on, can you stand?
Of course I can, she snapped, pushing him aside.
I'm not... Oh. Ravaged with disease, her strength depleted, she couldn't get up. And there was no way he could carry her, not even using the Force. Neither could Anakin. They were both simply too tired. Wait here, said Anakin, shoving his lightsaber into his shirt pocket. I'll go find an anti-grav sled. As he vanished into the darkness, Taria looked at the droids on the other side of the shield. They were still firing their blasters.
Don't they ever give up?
Obi-Wan shook his head. Sadly, no.
That's aggravating. No wonder you're tetchy.
She patted his knee.
Hey, sorry to be such a bother.
A bother? He tucked a wisp of hair behind her ear.
Don't be silly, Taria. Let me see that blaster burn.
She took his hand between both of hers.
In a moment.
Reading him, her eyes widened.
Obi-Wan.
Even if he'd wanted to hide from her, he couldn't. His self-control was too far eroded, his carefully constructed inner barrier smashed flat, and she was who she was. She could feel every pain in him, sense every overstretched nerve and sinew. He made himself meet her shocked gaze. Don't scold. I had no choice. Letting go of his hand, she stroked her fingers down the side of his face, tracing every hollow and sharp thrust of bone.
Oh, I could smack you.
And I could smack you right back. Taria, why did you come?
Somebody had to.
She tried to smile at him and failed.
Obi-Wan.
The pain in her was growing fiercer. What it had cost her to make this journey.
How did you fool the Separatists?
He said to distract her.
get through Grievous's blockade and into the city.
The question provoked an unexpected snuffle of amusement.
That was all Master Yoda's doing. He's awfully sneaky, you know. With a little help from your friend Senator Organa and some 500 First Pilots, I staged a daring gauntlet run of our Republic battle group in a genuine set ship, appeared to sustain serious damage, and then staged a crash landing not far from Dird's compound. Tragically, I didn't survive.
Now it was his turn to stare.
You stashed a body in the ship?
Yes,
she frowned.
Do you know, if he wasn't so charming, I think I might find Senator Organa a bit creepy.
Bail had arranged it?
My friend, I am sorry,
Obi-Wan thought, then said,
Tyria, I wish Yoda had sent someone else.
There was no one else,
she said.
Things are bad out there, Obi-Wan.
Then she pulled a face.
Mind you, they aren't looking too cheerful in here.
That's because they're not, he said, and to his shame he heard his voice break.
Stang,
she sighed. Her arms went around him, pulling him close.
What a mess.
Don't, he protested. I'm all right. And we must contact Master Windu and... She tightened her hold.
Master Windu can wait till we've something definite to tell him. Hush now. Hush. You're so tired. Hush.
He felt something deep inside him break. Hiding his face against her, he let himself go. Stunned, Anakin stood in the shadows and watched Tyria Damson comfort Obi-Wan. Watched how she held him, how she stroked his hair and rubbed his back, her hands moving, her voice a soft, ceaseless murmur. He saw how Obi-Wan surrendered to her voice and her touch, how unguarded he was within her embrace.
They're lovers, or they were. He never told me. I never guessed.
Lost in each other, they were oblivious to the droids, and to him.
All those lectures about not needing anyone, about the importance of staying emotionally detached. And look at him. Look at him. He's drowning in her. He loves her.
And what did it mean? That everything Obi-Wan had said was a lie? That he was living a lie, denying his feelings, enforcing the Order's ban on love, not because he believed in it, but because he wasn't strong enough to defy it? It felt like a betrayal. It was a betrayal.
Padme.
Saying something, his low voice indistinct, Obi-Wan eased himself free of Tyria Damson's arms. Then, he cupped her face with his hand and kissed her lightly on the lips. Cold to his core, Anakin kicked the anti-grav sled into motion and with a whining of servos pushed it forward. Sorry to take so long, he said, crossing into the pale pool of light cast by the plasma shield and the generator. You know how it is. Couldn't find a sled I liked. Obi-Wan stood, his face carefully blank. Anakin? We should get moving, he said, guiding the sled closer. I have to get back to checking the generators, and Devi's going to need a break soon. Obi-Wan slid Master Damson's comlink inside his shirt.
Yes, of course.
Between them, they helped her onto the sled and returned to the sick house, where Teba Sufi stared at them, astonished.
A new patient?
She said, unable to hide her dismay. And then she saw the lightsaber at Tyria's hip.
Another Jedi? Where did she...
I'll explain everything later, Sufi, said Obi-Wan, easing Master Damson onto a cot. Is there still some green sickness medicine left? All I need is a drop. A smear will do. It's very important. Teba Sufi's lips pinched tight.
Why do you want it? There's not enough to waste, Teba.
Sufi, I promise this won't be a waste, said Obi-Wan. Please.
You're right,
Teba Sufi said grudgingly and withdrew to the cupboard at the back of the room. Obi-Wan pulled out Master Damson's comlink.
It's secure? He asked her.
Deathly pale, she nodded.
And priority coded for Master Windu.
As Obi-Wan flipped the comlink open, she shifted her gaze.
Anakin, are you all right?
This wasn't the time or place to talk of love and lies. I'm fine. Just tired. He hadn't fooled her.